Welcome to your Sunday Reader, a joint podcast between St. Mary Parish and WorkingToBeatHell.org. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter, 2007. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in their faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attila. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord. And let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
Let them make known to you the might of the children of Adam and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
A reading from the book of Revelation. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race, and God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another, as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to your Sunday Reader. We're here in studio. It's Dawn and Brian. Father Mark is not with us again. We did notice that during the weeks that Father Mark was with us, our listenership actually went down according to the feed burner feeds. There were fewer subscribers, so we kicked him off the show. Dawn, did you have any thoughts on today's readings, the Gospel or any of the other readings?
Well, as I just read that Gospel passage, it's a little bit, not confusing, but there's a lot of words in it when it talks about the Son of Man being glorified, the Son of Man being Jesus. And I got to thinking about the word glory in and of itself, and I had to look it up, of course, because I don't exactly know every definition. But the word glory basically means very great praise, honor, or distinction bestowed by common consent. And that got me to thinking about, in American culture today, how we glorify, like, athletes and people, actors and things like that. And sometimes, to Hall of Fames, they'll induct people that may have not have had the most stellar behavior. Their career might be great, and so we're glorifying their career, but it's a totally different concept of glory between an athlete and what Jesus is talking about being glorified.
Yeah, so in other words, what you're kind of reflecting upon is really is what do we glorify in our own culture and what is worthy of being glorified? And I think you're right that sometimes we're not really too reflective on what we glorify. Sometimes the things that get glorified are even pure evil in our culture. So that is an interesting reflective point, I think, for today's readings and everything is what do we glorify and what do we value? It kind of speaks to what we value as a culture, what we glorify. The two of them are interrelated there. And I think you're right that it's also different that I think a lot of times the good stuff doesn't get glorified enough. A lot of times when you hear stories of heroics or somebody doing something good, it's on page B or it's the back page of the newspaper. It's never the front. It's always the, usually it's the horrific things that are on the front, but also sometimes we do live in this culture of entertainment, so it's just also whatever the most entertaining thing is, where we might glorify somebody because they returned the opening kickoff in the Super Bowl, but another person who spent their whole life helping people gets moved to the back of the newspaper or some good deed like that.
Yeah, and you saying that led me to think about the end of the gospel, which talks about love one another as I have loved you. And it's like the Mother Teresa's that obviously love the other people as Jesus loved them, but yet still she was great for a time, but it almost seems like we're forgetting her in our present day and things like that.
I think you're right on that. I also liked that last line that's he says that's how they will know that you're different, that you're Christian. It's not through some, I wear a cross or I'm wearing my Roman collar or a cassock or I'm marked in some way or, I have a big St. Mary t-shirt or something like that they'll know we're Christians. But it's really through the way we love one another. And certainly, I don't want to undermine the sacraments or anything like that or a prayer, and those things are important, but ultimately the point of those things is to help us lead better lives and to nourish us so that we can manifest that externally by showing our love for one another. And that can be done in several ways. Everybody has different ways of showing love for another person, but I think that a lot of times we can lose focus of that. This past weekend, I preached, and I was preaching last week's gospel, and I asked the question of whose voice do you follow? Because a lot of times we get pulled away by other voices, we get distracted by things, and we don't act like people of love, and our actions don't really witness to any spectacular love that we experience from Christ and then give to other people. So I think that can be a real challenge. And I think it is very difficult to show that love for other people. A lot of times people, when we don't get reward and it's not glorified in our society, we tend to want to, rather than, help an old lady cross the street, I'd rather go and, knock somebody out of the end zone, as they're trying to score a touchdown, recover the fumble and run it back.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a question of, where are our priorities? But also there's the question of, how can we be people of love?
Last night we had a meeting and there was someone there that was talking about the early church. And I got to thinking, to put this gospel passage in the right context, it's actually part of the Last Supper. So Jesus has just washed the feet of his disciples and it starts off with Judas has left them. So Jesus is knowing that Judas is going to go betray him. And he still says, love one another as I have loved you. And I got to thinking about what the disciples must be going through at this point. They're still not quite sure. And what is this love all about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you're right that the early church definitely, that's really even before the whole crucifixion.
Yeah.
I mean, there's different points when the church, people, different theologians say different points when the church was first formed. But I mean, this is all before they had the fullness of at least the Spirit, and they didn't have the crucifixion and the resurrection to really understand a lot of what Jesus was saying. So I can definitely agree that these people are probably really wondering, you know, what is going on. But also, I think it's important that context that you gave us, where it is in the last context of the Last Supper, and with the, and it's from John's Gospel. And John's Gospel, interestingly enough, at the Last Supper, he does not give an account of the Eucharist. He doesn't give an account of the institution where he says, this is my body, this is my blood. But as you pointed out, John's Gospel instead has the washing of the feet. And that's the love that Jesus is talking about when he says, love one another as I've loved you. And it's this love of service. It's a service, being at the service of other people, too. And a lot of times, love is a word, too, in our society that gets thrown around, and people don't really understand what it is. And a lot of times, people think it's either this really emotional thing or it's an erotic thing. But, here what Jesus is saying is it's really a concern for other people to the point that you put yourself at the service of others. And I think it was a powerful witness for Jesus, because here he is the leader of these 12 guys, and he's there washing their feet. He's very much humbling himself to be their servant. And again, I think that that's kind of the mark of Christian love, is can we humble ourselves to be servants to one another? And that can be a very difficult thing to do, because a lot of times, especially in our culture, we're a culture of ego, and we're not a culture of humble service. We're a culture of I should be served, or at least ego and trying to become number one.
I guess when I was thinking about the early church, I was actually thinking about the first reading, and then I got sidetracked. I know you find that hard to believe. My thought patterns are always so
my rant had nothing to do with what
right. I mean, because then I eventually went into the gospel, but I was thinking about Paul and Barnabas, who were going all over and making new disciples and believers, or not making, but helping these people grow. And you know, we think of it, well, I look at it and think, oh, that must have been so exciting. But I'm sure it was terrifying for a lot of people, because they were going against what the common culture was believing. And so it must have taken a lot of courage.
You know, it's also one of the things that is, too, is that was the initial evangelization of the church.
Right.
And I just want to put a plug out there. A couple weeks ago on the workingtobeathell.org site, Sean Gould, one of my friends, did a nice article on Christian evangelization, or how we as Catholics can be evangelizing, because we're still called to that. A lot of times nowadays that kind of has a bad reputation, because people think of it as proselytizing, or I'm going to go out and demand everybody convert to my faith. But really, our evangelization is how we live our lives. I mean, but we need to live it our faith needs to be lived publicly. And that's one thing that also goes against the grain of the American culture, because people think that your faith should be a private thing, and I don't want you telling me what I should believe. And it's not so much that we should be saying, you guys need to believe this too, but do we live our lives in such a way that people can look at us and recognize us through the love that we have and say, that person is clearly a Christian? And there are people in our society who do that. I mean, I think we've all met people like that who, even though they don't sit here and explicitly talk about, you know, Jesus Christ and how he's affected their life in the way that, you know, some of the evangelicals might, you can tell by the way they live their life that they have a great faith. And occasionally they'll express it, you know, with words, but mostly through actions. It kind of reminds me of St. Francis's line that he says, where he says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. That's really the way I think that we need to do our evangelization today. Of course, then we've got you and I sitting here on a podcast trying to do it with words, but I think that our actions speak a lot louder. If we sit here and we can talk about this on the podcast, and then we leave this office and are just real jerks to the people, we have no credibility.
Right.
We have to be people of love, and all Christians need to be. If you can come to Mass every Sunday, receive the Eucharist, and then you go out and you're a jerk in your everyday life, then something's not working right. There's a disconnect. And what Christ is saying when he says, you know, you'll be recognized by how you love one another, not by where you went to Mass or how many times you received Eucharist in a weekend or in a week or something like that. It's what do we do when we come out of that experience and how do we live our daily lives?
You were talking this morning about a friend of Father Mark's who was passing out prayer cards.
Yeah, that was an awesome story. Father Mark had told me this right before I left for Mass, that one of his friends who happens to live out near the Oakland area was, the Oakland area, some of you may know, had a bridge destroyed, and so it's created this huge traffic problem. And I always say, you know, for me, traffic is one of the areas where I think we become least Christian. And if any of you are in your cars right now listening to this podcast, I encourage you to try to be Christian on the road. But yeah, so it created more congestion. And this priest friend of Father Mark's went out and went into the traffic and was started passing out prayer cards to people who were caught in traffic. I thought that was a little simple gesture. It shows a gesture of faith. But it's also a way, I think, to remind some of the people in traffic that rather than cursing at the person in front of you, you know, why not say a prayer?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just those little things that it's countercultural, but it's also a wake-up call to, oh, this is what it means to be a Christian. It means to, you know, I'm sitting here in this traffic. There's nothing I can do about it. Why don't I say a quick prayer? Why don't I, you know, make the best of this situation rather than getting caught up in this downward spiral of yelling and screaming and, you know, just getting stressed out or whatever else you do with the, I don't want to know what you do with the cars, but that sort of a thing. It was a positive response, and it was a response that showed love because the priest is going out and he's kind of with the people saying, you know, gee, I know it's horrible to be caught up in this traffic. I hate being in traffic too. Why don't we say a prayer rather than sit here and, you know, make the worst of a bad situation?
And knowing this priest, you know that he's not trying to force anything on anybody. He's a right. very nice guy. And so I think that was an awesome example of evangelization, too. Just saying, yeah. Here, would you like one? Not, you must pray this prayer.
That's right. Say, pray this prayer and you'll get to work faster.
If only that worked.
That's right. Well, anyways, I see that we're running a little long here. Hopefully you find ways to show your Christian love for other people in the way you live out your daily life. And hopefully you'll be back next week to listen to us on your Sunday Reader. Have a great week and God bless.